Welcome to D&B College. In this lesson, we're building a low-end pressure VHS rave stab in Ableton Live 12, and more importantly, we're arranging it so it behaves like a real drum and bass weapon, not just a looped sound design idea. The goal is simple. We want something that feels retro, ragged, a little haunted, but still strong enough to cut through a modern D&B mix. This kind of stab is perfect when you need mid-range identity and tension without stealing space from the kick, snare, and sub. So think intro punctuation, pre-drop teasing, call and response in the drop, or second drop switch up that brings instant attitude. Why this works in D&B is because the arrangement already has a lot happening in the low end. The kick and sub are doing the heavy lifting down there, so your stab needs to live above that zone and add pressure through harmonics, rhythm, and texture. It's not supposed to be a lead line. It's a mid-range weapon. A punctuation mark, a little burst of rave memory, with club-ready control. Start simple. Load up Waveatable or Analog on a MIDI track and build a source that can get dirty fast. A saw or square-based patch works really well. You can use a few unison voices if you want, but don't go huge. Keep the source focused. Close the filter enough to give the note some shape, and use a short amp envelope. Fast attack, short decay, zero sustain, quick release. You want a hit, not a pad. A good starting point is an attack right near zero, a decay somewhere around 120 to 300 milliseconds, sustain at zero, and a short release. Keep the filter in the mid-range with modest resonance so it has a nasal edge without becoming sharp in a bad way. What to listen for here is a clear front edge and a short body. If the sound already feels blurry in mono before any processing, that blur is only going to get worse later. So don't chase width yet. Just get a source that has attitude and stays focused. Now write a phrase that behaves like a rave hook, not a melody line. Keep it simple. One bar or two bars is enough. 2 to 4 notes can do a lot here. You might outline a dark tonal center with the root, flat 3, 5th, or flat 7. You could play stabs on the offbeats, answer the snare, or build a two note call and response where the second hit jumps a little higher. If the track is already dense, keep the rhythm tight and repetitive. If you need a clearer hook or a more old school feel, make the phrase a little more vocal, a little more dramatic. Either way, the idea is to make something that locks with the drums and feels intentional. Next, shape the source before you print it. A really useful chain here is autofilter, then saturator, then chorus ensemble or frequency shifter if you want a bit of unstable VHS edge, and then EQA to clean things up. You're framing the sound first, then adding grit, then controlling the spectrum. Use the filter to keep the stab focused. Saturation adds harmonics and a bit of density, which is exactly what helps it survive resampling. If you use chorus ensemble, keep it subtle. If you use frequency shifter, tiny movement is enough. You only need a little instability to make the sound feel haunted. After that, use a QA to remove the bottom end. High pass it so the stab is not competing with a real bassline. Usually somewhere above 120 to 180 Hz is a good place to start, sometimes even higher depending on how busy the arrangement is. What to listen for at this stage is grain and attitude. The sound should feel like it's already starting to age in a good way. If the low mids get cloudy, back off the saturation or reduce the effect amount before you print. The cleanest version that still has personality is usually the best one to resample. Now commit it. Record the processed stab onto audio and capture a few bars. Don't just think of this as making a sample. You're printing the moment when the sound feels alive. If you can, record a couple of passes with small changes in filter movement, velocity, or effect intensity. That gives you options without having to rebuild the patch later. Once you've recorded it, stop over-tweaking and make a decision. If the printed take already has the right tone, the right transient, and the low end is clean, commit. That's a big part of working fast in D&B. Sometimes the best move is to stop improving and start arranging. Trim the audio tightly now. Keep the transient, cut the tail before it gets messy, and make sure the stab is behaving like a hit. If it has a noisy tail, add a small fade. If you want the groove to feel a little lazier and more dangerous, nudge one repeat a few milliseconds late. If you want urgency, push a repeat a little early. Tiny timing shifts can completely change the attitude. At this point, keep checking the low end. The stab should stay out of the sub range. Even if it sounds cool soloed, anything trying to live too low is going to fight the kick and bass. In this kind of production, mid-range pressure is what matters, not low-end overlap. If you want more control, load the resampled audio into Simpler and use it as a one-shot. That makes it easy to trigger the stab with different note lengths or rearrange it more musically. One-shot behavior gives you a tight, percussive response. Slice mode can be useful if you printed a longer phrase and want to pull out fragments for a broken, more rhythmic pattern. For a horror rave edge, keep it short and almost percussive. For a darker cinematic edge, let the tail breathe just a little more, but don't let it turn into a pad. It should still hit like a stab. Now process the printed audio for weight, edge, and mono compatibility. A strong chain here is EQ8, glue compressor, saturator, and utility. Use EQ8 to cut any leftover low end and clean boxiness around the low mids. If it needs bite, a gentle lift in the upper mids can help. Use glue compressor lightly, just enough to keep the hits even. Add a touch of saturator if the resample feels too polite. Then use utility to narrow the width or even bring it closer to mono, if the body of the sound needs more focus. This is important in D&B because the center lane belongs to the kick and sub. The stab can absolutely be exciting in stereo, but if its important body is too wide, it will weaken the drop. A more centered, mono-friendly stab will usually feel more powerful on club systems. Now bring the drums and bass in and listen to the whole thing together. This is where the sound either earns its place or doesn't. Put the stab where it can answer the snare or land in the space after a bass hit. It can work on the off beats, at the end of a bar, or as a lead-in to a transition. In an intro, one stab every 4 or 8 bars can be enough. In the drop, it might repeat more often, but it still needs to leave space. What to listen for here is whether the stab improves the groove or just adds noise. If it masks the snare crack, shorten it. If it fights the bass line, carve more low mids or reduce the tail. If it sounds great in solo but weak in context, the issue is usually arrangement density, not the sound design. That's a really important mindset shift. Indeed, N.B., the question is not, does this sound cool by itself? The question is, does this make the groove more dangerous? Now add movement sparingly. Automate the filter, the saturation, the width, or the reverb send, but do it with purpose. Open the filter over 4 or 8 bars in a build. Add a little extra drive at a switch up. Throw one stab into a longer reverb tail, then cut it dry again right after. The key is to make it speak in phrases, not constantly morph every bar. Too much motion can weaken the impact. A stab like this gets stronger when its changes feel deliberate. A really useful trick is to print two versions. Make one tight and mix ready, and another that's a little more degraded, more filtered, maybe more unstable. Use the cleaner version for the main drop and the dirtier version for fills, breakdowns, or the end of an 8-bar phrase. That gives you contrast without rebuilding the sound from scratch. You can also make a shorter monofocused version for dense sections or an upshifted version for a second drop lift. This is one of the best ways to make a track feel bigger without adding more elements. Keep the identity the same, but change the state. Another important point is octave placement. If the second drop needs more energy, move the stab up an octave or transpose it slightly. That can instantly wake the track up without changing the harmonic idea. If you want something darker and more threatening, keep the pitch the same, but reduce the density, shorten the tail, or use the degraded version. Same idea, different energy. Let's talk about arrangement, because this is where the lesson really becomes useful. Don't treat the stab like a loop. Treat it like a section marker. Put it at the end of a 4-bar idea, before a snare return, as a lead into a bass variation, or on the last bar before a drop transition. It becomes a signpost in the track. It tells the listener where the energy is going. A strong pattern is to start sparse and filtered, then bring in the fuller version, then drop back to the degraded one for contrast, and finally switch to the alternate version in the next section. That kind of progression keeps the listener engaged without making the hook too busy. And if you're in a mix with drums and bass only, the stab should still make the groove feel more complete without stealing attention from the snare or the sub. A couple more useful habits here. Check the stab in 3 states: drums only, drums plus bass, and full loop. If it only works in the full loop, it's probably leaning too hard on the surrounding elements. If it works with drums and bass and still leaves room for the core groove, you're in great shape. Also, don't be afraid to commit early. If the stab already has a clear attitude and the tail is behaving, move forward. Most of the time, the next 5 tweaks just make it less effective. Keep the versioning intentional instead of endlessly refining one sound. So to recap, a strong low-end pressure VHS rave stab in Ableton Live 12 starts with a simple synth source, gets its character from controlled processing, is resampled early enough to capture the good movement, and then is edited and arranged like a rhythmic asset, not a standalone sound design trick. Keep the low end out of it. Give it a clear transient. Use saturation and filtering to build identity. Check it in context with the drums and bass. Then automate and version it by section so it supports the shape of the track. If it feels like a dusty rave memory that still punches like modern drum and bass, you're in the right zone. Now I want you to try the practice challenge. Build two versions of the same stab, one tight and mix ready, one degraded and a little more unstable. Keep both filtered above the low end, then place them in a 2-bar DNB loop with drums and sub. Hear how each version changes the energy. That's where the real learning happens. Make it hit, make it speak, and make it belong to the groove.